Welcome to Begin With Yes with Paul Boynton on Empower Radio, a show to help you create and embrace real personal change. You can overcome the challenges in front of you. You just begin with yes. Here's your host, Paul Boynton.
Hey, Brent, thank you so much. It's great to be here again. I love being part of Empower Radio, and the family's growing and growing with more people listening and more new shows coming on, and it really truly is an honor for me to be part of it all. Today, my guest is a friend of mine, Leslie Sturgeon, who you're going to love as much as I do once you've listened to her tell a little bit about her story. But Leslie is the founder and visionary of Women Inspiring Women, an organization focused on empowerment, personal and professional development. Networking is a big part of it, and so is having fun. She's been hailed as one of New Hampshire's outstanding women in business by the New Hampshire Business Review, and Leslie is a tireless leader making all kinds of wonderful things happen. Leslie, it is so good to have you with us today.
I appreciate being with you, Paul. Thank you.
You know, we're Facebook pals, and we run into each other at meetings from time to time, and when I see you, my face just lights up. You have such good energy, and you're so much fun to be around. How do you explain your charisma? That's a tough first question, but you do have charisma, and people are just drawn to you, and you get people energized and excited. Where do you think that came from?
I actually think it comes from the energy of other people, because I've just been really blessed to be around some great people throughout my career, my life, and I think it just comes, it's just sort of this enthusiasm to be around other people that, I mean, you're the same way, Paul, so I think you kind of, you can't really describe it, it just is sort of this feeling, and you just get excited, and I think it just comes...
That makes me laugh because we're easily excitable, I think, is part of it.
I think for me, part of it is I used to be painfully shy. So I think this is a long period of evolution that you see now that I just sort of embrace, and it comes a lot easier to me. It's just easily excitable and just loving life and loving people. And it just comes through every pore of our being, I guess.
That's really, I never would have guessed that painfully shy piece. Do you remember when you sort of began transitioning out of being painfully shy and more outgoing?
It was my first year in business. I was 22 years old, so it was 23 years ago that I started my first business, and I was naive, and I was young, but I was enthusiastic, and I just knew in order to be successful in my business that I was going to have to do things that made me uncomfortable and that pushed me a little bit, and that I couldn't go out and market my business and engage with people if I was shy. So it just became sort of a big to-do for me, was to get through that shyness. And however long it took, I was willing to do the work and keep pushing myself out of my comfort zone. And so I just became aware that I needed to fix it, because it was just really interfering with my life and my ability to run my business the way I envisioned it. And just the commitment to get through it. So it's been my whole life has been that way. And to this day, I still suffer from it a little bit.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that. Is it something that you fix, or are you always sort of finding yourself stepping outside your comfort zone a little bit?
It gets a little bit easier, but there's still things, oddly enough, even though I have a very public role, I don't like being the center of attention. It's mm-hmm. that not wanting all the attention on you, and I would rather have the attention be on other people and just kind of just not be the focus. That's still the shyness, I think, that's rearing its ugly head once in a while. But yet I keep on getting out there and stretching myself a little bit. And so now I'm not nervous about walking into a room full of people. I actually embrace it, and I like doing it. And before going to business after hours or whatever was a real challenge for me. And now I really love going to networking events, because it's a great opportunity to meet people. And that part, the meeting people, is a lot of fun, and that comes much more naturally to me. It's the being on a stage or speaking in public or something, and being the center of attention that makes me mm-hmm. a little nervous and shy still.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to my assistant this morning, and she was talking about going to her high school reunion alone. But that it in part that was stepping outside of her comfort zone, but also how empowering it was to her having done that. And once she got there and began chatting with people, a lot of the discomfort that she was feeling sort of dissipated. And I thought, man, that's a pretty gutsy thing to do, to go to your reunion all by yourself.
Oh, it is, especially because it's so much easier just to take someone with you or seek out someone that you know really well and use them as a crutch, kind of, which I actually did at the beginning. That's how I started getting out of my comfort zone, is going with people that I knew a lot of people, you know, to business after hours and things like that, business-related things. My high school, it was a very positive experience. It was a very small school, so it was very safe. So I started spreading my wings a little bit there. But, yeah, if you're going into a big environment like that all by yourself, it's easy to just latch on to someone. But it also is really empowering to say, you know what, I've made this commitment to be here, and I'm going to overcome this. And even just taking those baby steps. And also reflecting as you're driving home, maybe saying, well, what could I have done differently? And celebrating what you did do well that was maybe a stretch for you. It's so for me, it was a whole process of going to things like that. And I'm sure Brenda did some of that, too, when she went to the reunion, was saying, okay, what am I going to do when I get there? And then reflecting on it when you come back and saying, okay, well, that was good. What am I going to incorporate next time I go out and do the same thing? And what worked, what didn't work? So it's a whole process for me, yeah, and I think it probably was for her, too.
Yeah, I agree. Did I interrupt you?
No, I was done.
Okay. Well, and I think that this actually happened a while ago, and it was kind of a turning point, I think, for her, although we should probably get her on the phone and let her speak for herself. But I think it was kind of a turning point for her, is that she learned by doing that she could do that, and then in the future doing those kinds of things, or doing other things that were outside of her typical practices, she sort of had more courage or more self-esteem around being able to do that.
Oh, you definitely do. It's such an invigorating feeling, and you realize, okay, I didn't die. I made it through. It's all good. And then, so it's all of those things, and good for her for actually doing that, and I celebrate that with any women that do that, or men too, because men tend to be shy sometimes too, and anytime you do something that's out of your norm or out of your comfort zone, it's worth celebrating, and all of that makes us become the people that we envision that we would be. So, and now I actually will take other women with me, because I know how painful it is to walk into that group of people, and so I want to give back, because people helped me get through that and made me who I am today. So I like to go and help other people, sort of to be their crutch, but also to be their sort of mentor and coach and cheerleader.
I completely get what you're talking about in that way. And you mentioned a minute ago those small steps, and you know me, that's something I'm always talking about, is taking those small steps. And so as people think about stepping outside their comfort zone, whether it's going back to school or going to a networking meeting where they don't know anybody or whatever it is, I think it's really important to remind everybody, ourselves included, that those small steps may seem like they're small steps, but they're very huge steps. And what you refer to as a crutch is actually finding a way to take a small step, which is much, much, much better than not taking a step at all. And so you bringing people into a meeting and helping people take that first step is very commendable. But for people listening, I hope that people hear that if you're sort of moving into territory where you are stepping outside your comfort zone, it's not only okay, it makes a lot of sense to get some help and connect with people and let people make those first sort of steps a little bit easier. So,
well, you're so absolutely right, Paul. And the key word there is small steps. I think people get overwhelmed saying, okay, well, I need to overcome shyness. Well, that's just a monumental task when you put that out there. I need to overcome shyness, or I need to, whatever the task or whatever the challenge is or the obstacle that you want to overcome, it seems so daunting and so scary when you just sort of put that out there. But if you really sort of chunk it down or realize, I only need to make a small step. I just need to put my foot in the door, literally. I mean, for some people going to a networking event or some of my events, even, it's the fear of the unknown. What am I going to do when I get there? all that stuff. It's actually just walking through the door.
Right, exactly.
You know, I went to Toastmasters back in the early day. I ended up not going through the program because it conflicted with something I was doing at the time, but schedule-wise. But just showing up there, I felt empowered. Just being in the presence of people that were working really hard to overcome something, whether it's communication or public speaking or whatever it might have been, just showing up there and sitting with that group of people, I felt better. And if you really just look at it, it's those small steps that lead to those monumental changes. And don't get overwhelmed with it. Just realize just one tiny little step. For some people, it could be picking up the phone to call somebody or going through the doorway of an event. Even if you don't go into the event, at least you're there.
Absolutely.
And it becomes easier. And just don't get overwhelmed with the whole process. Just do one little thing at a time.
You know,
and
I'm speaking.
It magically happens.
There have been so many things that you've said in the last 2 minutes that my mind is going in a million different directions that make me want to respond to it. But, you know, sort of creating that, first of all, giving yourself sort of credit for taking a small step is really important. But just saying, okay, well, I'm going to drive to where the event is, that's step number one. Getting out of the car might be step number two. Just
mm-hmm.
walking through the door might be step number three. And it's like so many of the things that, and you've already said this, but that we think of as goals for ourselves, like going back to college or losing, you know, 30 pounds or whatever it is that we want to do. Sometimes we just scare ourselves and overwhelm ourselves by focusing on that big thing goal that's at the other end rather than focus on, well, what can I do today that will get me one step closer to where I want to be at some point?
Absolutely. And I think some people think, I have to lose 30 pounds. Well, it really just starts with today. What can you do today that was different than you did yesterday?
Right.
And what little thing could you change today to make a huge difference? And celebrating that, I think oftentimes, especially with the women that I'm blessed to be around, is they'll say, oh, well, I went to this event. I really didn't want to go. I was nervous about going, and I only talked to 2 people. I should have talked to 10, but I only talked to 2. Well, cutting yourself some slack that, A, you showed up.
Absolutely.
B, you talked to 2 people. I mean, that's huge. So instead of beating ourselves up, which we often do about everything, just realizing, well, that's 2 more people than you talked to yesterday, and you went to this thing. I mean, that's hugely important that you need to celebrate. Instead of just saying, well, I'm a loser, I didn't talk to 10, just being grateful and realize at some point, or maybe they were the 2 you were meant to talk to. Just going to stop beating ourselves up, but it's just those breaking it down and making these tiny little changes. And, you know, and the people that say, oh, I really want to go back and get my degree, but I don't have time to do that, or it's scary to do that at my age, it just starts with one course. You don't have to say, when you hold that over your head about, oh, I want this this goal of to get my degree, and it seems so daunting that I won't get started, it really just starts with one course. So just take one course, see how that goes, and take the next one.
And I would even suggest, Leslie, that it starts even with a smaller step, which might be getting online and looking up what colleges are within commutable distance to you.
You're right. Or what's available online if you...
Right.
You know, if there's a will, there's a way. But you're right. Even if just researching something is a step.
Right. It's. I'm glad you mentioned the college as an example, and I think I might have referred to it too because it's
you
on
did.
My mind. But I'm speaking. I'm doing the commencement speech at Hesser College, which is a college in New Hampshire that's graduating 1,000 people. And so they're doing it at the Verizon Center, and they're expecting like 4,000 or 5,000 people, and I've never spoken to a group like that, and so I am stepping way, way, way outside my comfort zone. And
yes.
I realize, you know, the older I get, I'm still that you still can teach an old dog new tricks because I keep learning things. And one of the things that I'm learning is that as long as you're actually sort of fully engaged in life and having fun, you are always sort of stepping outside your comfort zone. There isn't, you know, you don't go to a networking thing and meet 2 people and then you've conquered that and you'll never be outside your your comfort zone, because then there'll be something else and you're always sort of stepping outside your comfort zone. And part of what I'm learning is to not see that as something to be afraid of, although I still get nervous, that's for sure, but to sort of see it as a proof or a sign that I'm alive and doing exciting things. Does that make sense to you?
Oh my God, it so makes sense. I was just going to add too that if I don't have a knot in my stomach about some huge leap out of my comfort zone, then I am disappointed in myself, because I, in order to grow as a professional, and I have to be doing something every single moment of my life that's out of my comfort zone. I mean, there always has to be something on my radar that's a stretch for me. You know, I did my first New Hampshire Conference for Women, and literally I was driving home from it, and I went, okay, whew, I did it. What's next? Because I thought I did that. Now I need to work on my next big challenge, or my next big leap. So I'm always, always, always mindful of just growing and expanding my horizons and stretching myself. Because to me, it's nerve-wracking in that some would say, well, having that nervous stomach or that knot in your stomach is not a good way to live. But for me, it's what motivates me and propels me and gets me growing as a person. So for me, it's a positive thing.
Right.
So I embrace the knot in my stomach all the time. And I like challenging myself. And I say to my partner, okay, what is it I need to do to live up to my potential? Because sometimes I like to hear it from other people. And he'll be honest with me, and usually it's stuff I already know. So I just encourage everyone to ask yourself that, or ask people around you that you think will be brutally honest with you. You know, because oftentimes they see potential in you that you don't see in yourself. Say, what is it I need to do to live up to my potential?
Hey, Leslie, I love, you know, hearing you talk about the knot in your stomach. And sometimes, you know, and I definitely have firsthand experience with the knot in your stomach, but I've sort of discovered that sometimes what I thought is nervousness is actually excitement. It's sort of hard to distinguish nervousness from excitement, and sometimes they sort of blend together. So what I've been trying to do more recently is when I feel that knot, is to sort of experiment with at least saying, hey, I'm feeling excited about this too. That's sort of been an interesting thing for me to try.
Oh, you're right that it definitely is. It is excitement. It's the possibilities, I think. So it's this knot, but it's knowing, okay, I'm just about to do something that I've never done before, and what is it, what's going to be the outcome? And it's excitement. You're right. So instead of nervousness, I'm going to say excitement from now on.
Yeah,
so thanks, Paul.
At least part excitement. And, you know, I think, too, we underestimate how everyone else is feeling. And so, you know, I have a lot of friends who are actors, and I don't know one actor who, no matter how many times they've gone on stage, who doesn't have those butterflies in the belly and who isn't nervous. In fact, I read a beautiful quote by Daniel Radcliffe, the Harry Potter actor, and he was on Broadway in a show, and he said every time before he goes out on stage, he has this intense knot in his stomach. And so here's somebody that is probably one of the wealthiest actors in our culture today who talks about having the exact same knot in his belly that we all have. So I think it's part of the...
from being complacent, too. I think especially with celebrities, it's easy for them to say, you know what, I know I'm good at what I do. But it keeps that, if you channel it properly, it keeps you always on the top of your game, too.
Trying
to one-up yourself. And how can I go out there today and really nail this and do a better job than I did last time?
Absolutely. And it creates some energy that probably makes the performance a little bit more exciting and real, too. You know, someone once described you, Leslie, to me, and I can't remember who it was, but you were a serial entrepreneur or something like that. And then you mentioned at the very beginning of the interview that you started your first business at age 22. Are you an entrepreneur, too?
I am. I was thinking about it the other day, and except for in college and when I first got out, I've never worked for anybody else. I have
really?
Been my own boss since I was 22 years old, and I've started a couple businesses, some I still run today, including my Women Inspiring Women group is another business that I've created. So it's all I've ever done. I came from an entrepreneurial family, and it's just all I've ever done. I don't know how to be an employee. I always know just about leading and creating, and that's just the way I have always lived my life.
Any failures along the way?
Well, the businesses haven't been monetarily successful, but they have been very successful in terms of helping me become the person I wanted to be. They've enabled me to make a lot of contacts, provide a lot of great services over the years for people. For failures, I think, they weren't. The profitability hasn't been that great. Gave a lot of stuff away for free. I'm a different entrepreneur today than I was before in terms of, and I think I would be a different boss today than I was before, too. But I just, as Maya Angelou says, when you know better, you do better. And through the years, I've learned a lot about running a business that I didn't know in the early days. And, but if, in terms of failures, well, there's always learning opportunities, I guess, in the failures. So I can't really identify any failures, I guess, right off the top of my mind. But, you know, little things along the way where you went, ugh, that wasn't so great. But I learned from it. So
well,
I won't do that again.
I think that, again, that's sort of like, you know, choosing what to focus on in any given situation. And you just described it beautifully, looking at something that might have not gone so well financially. But what did you learn that prepared you for the next opportunity that
and I think that keeps that me from having regrets too, because everything happens for a reason. And at the time you make a decision, whether it's to be married or to start a business or to engage in a relationship with someone, you know, a business partnership or whatever it might be, I go into it knowing all of it. I make educated decisions. I weigh all the options, the pros and cons. So at the time it was the right decision, and maybe it didn't turn out that great, but it still was. You know, whether you got divorced or whatever, but it still happened as it should have. You made that decision to make it happen, so it was part of your life, it's part of your story, and you learn from it or you take all that. And, you know, I was married before to my high school sweetheart, and we just kind of outgrew each other. It doesn't diminish what we had by any means. It's just part of my life. I still am very blessed to have him in my life. So it's not a negative. It was a positive. So I just don't have any regrets.
I think that's a wonderful way to live. Leslie, your focus, at least since I've known you, has been on empowering women and helping women move forward with their careers and with personal and professional growth. And I'm wondering, why do you think the focus on women? And I have to tell you, men love being around you too, and you're motivating a lot of men too, whether you know it or not, and you probably do know it. But why the focus on women?
I think it's because all throughout my career, women have played a huge role in my growth. You know, whether it's been, I've been seeking them out to provide advice on whatever, and they just have played a huge role in my life. So I just naturally gravitate to them and wanted to give back because I know the profound difference that women have made in my life. And I do have a lot of men that come to my events and things like that too. And so I get a lot from all of those, but in terms of just sort of focusing on women, it's just seeing the potential in them that they don't see in themselves and just wanting to give back because of so much that was given to me. And actually in starting my group, it just kind of started out small. I thought I'll just bring women together once a month, just in this one area of our state, and hopefully they'll get the same results and that same great feeling that I got when I'm around other women. And then it just catapulted after that to be the group that it is today and the size that it is today. But for women, I guess it's just, I just love women. I don't know how to describe it. I like seeing in them things that they don't see in themselves, and I like just every part of them and helping them navigate the juggling of the life and the work and the kids and the and just all of that and instilling them a belief that they can do whatever they want to do. But I like the boys too.
I know you do, and the boys like you. Leslie, what if you were to articulate what your calling was, what do you think your purpose in life is, your calling?
I think it's to make a difference in the lives of others. Because my first business that I still kind of run today was doing office support and having executive suite rentals and managing associations. And it was all with a goal of just making life easier for other people, helping them with their office needs or their project management needs, just providing assistance and helping them be successful. And I think that's my calling, and it carries through to what I'm doing today is working with women and a few good men and helping them make their life easier, more successful, having it morph into what they envisioned it to be and just being a true partner with them and whatever it is that they might need a partner for. And now it just takes a little different form than it did before, but it all comes back to helping others just succeed and be happy.
Well, that's a wonderful calling. And before we run out of time, we've got a couple more minutes, but do you use social media at all? And do you have a Facebook page that, or a website that people can find you at?
I do. The website is wiwnh.com, wiwnh.com. And the Facebook page is Women Inspiring Women. And there's another one on there, but if they just look for one that's all kinds of pink.
Okay.
It's facebook.com/womeninspiringwomen, and they're going to see a whole plethora of pink, and then they'll know they've reached the right organization. But social media has been huge for building our community of women.
Awesome.
And I know it's been huge for you, too, and it helps us all stay connected.
Yeah, it really does, and it's fun, which is always a part of everything you do. I actually find social media a lot of fun too. Leslie, in the minute and a half that we have left, or probably just a minute, what's next for you? What are some of the things you're thinking about doing next?
Next is just being able to provide more programs and services and resources to the community that I already have built here in New Hampshire. The other part would be expanding my group throughout more of the state. Right now, it's the southern part of the state, but there's a lot of other great women that are just in other parts that I want to get closer to them. Maybe expanding to other parts of New England, but for right now, it's continuing with the mission and the vision and just doing more for all those wonderful women, whatever that might be. I don't really have any long-term plans. I know that's sort of counterintuitive for a business owner, kind of productive, but I like to see where the journey's taking me. And most of it's based on what I think the need is.
There'll be people listening literally from all over the world to this broadcast because people listen to it on the internet. And so I hope that, and I know that you have inspired people from literally all over the world in the same way that you inspire women in New Hampshire. So thanks for being a guest, and we'll talk again one day soon.
Thank you so much, Paul.
All right. And thank you all for listening to Begin With Yes on Empower Radio. We'll see you next time.